The beast of Egypt confronted Israel on the shores of the Red Sea. But God the Lord helped Israel, opening up the waters of the Red Sea for her that she might cross, and then closing those waters down upon the Egyptians as they pursued after the Israelites. Moses and Israel then sang a mighty song praising the glory of God as seen in victory, in power, in holiness, in power again, and in victory again. All of that in Exodus chapter 15, as we noticed this morning. As Israel passed through the sea and under the cloud, they were baptized into Moses. They are our brethren in the Spirit. Christians pass through the waters of baptism and enter Christ as God frees them from the slavery or tyranny of sin and guilt, giving us plenty of reasons to sing to and to praise the glory of God. However, the beasts of pagan Rome and papal Rome sought to devour our early brethren in the church. And the beast of secularism and political liberalism pursue us today to capture us and to return us to a life without God. That's their goal. However, even if we have to die, God gives us the victory, showing His power. He will show His power over all secular forces today because He is holy. And He will demonstrate His power and give us the victory. That is the book of Revelation. That is Revelation 15, 1 through 4. That is the story of the earth, which is also the story of the Bible. Let's take a look now at Revelation 15. Remember this morning I kind of left you by saying that there's an experience we can have now that is similar to what Israel did when they went through the Red Sea. Well, that's our baptism. But now let's take a look at what Revelation 15 says about a similar experience that we can have yet in the future to what Israel did when they came out on the other side of the Red Sea and sang that magnificent song in Exodus 15. First of all, here's the setting for the song. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues. For in them the wrath of God is complete. Now picture this with your eyes. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on a sea of glass, having harps of God. Man, that's beautiful. God put plagues on Egypt and Rome. Plagues on Egypt, you know about that in the book of Exodus. Plagues on Rome, that's the book of Revelation. And He will put plagues upon whoever seeks to enslave us, or He will put plagues upon whoever seeks to captivate us and lead us away to a life without God. Our brethren who fought the beast of Rome stood, according to Revelation 15, on a sea of glass mingled with fire, like Israel standing on the shores of the Red Sea. And our brethren had a song to sing there in Revelation 15, and they sang it with Moses and the Israelites. If we do not give in to the twin beasts of secularism and political liberalism, we too shall have part of the chorus singing a song of victory that centers upon glorifying our God. Now see yourself in this passage. See yourself standing on a sea of glass that has fire mingled in it. But the fire does not hurt you. And God gives you a harp to play. And man, you're ready to sing. And here's what you sing in verses 3 and 4. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested." Don't you just love that question right in the middle of the song? Who shall not fear the Lord and glorify His name? Is there anyone on this earth, in this creation, who would think of not fearing the Lord and not glorifying His name? Well, sure, there's plenty who don't. But it's because they don't understand the truths that are found here in verses 3 and 4. But because we know them, and because we shall join in this song, or maybe something similar, we're going to ask, how could the people on the earth not fear the Lord and not glorify His name? Why was that not their concern during their lives on this earth? We can see Him now in the things that He does, but then we shall see Him literally with our eyes. And we think, why can't others see this while they're on the earth? And they won't be able to enjoy it later. Look at what He did to Egypt. So fear Him and glorify His name. Look what He did to pagan Rome, which was brought down. So fear Him and glorify His name. Watch what He will do to papal Rome. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This whole chapter is about that truth. But I want you to notice in particular verse 8, which says, "And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of His mouth and destroy with the brightness of His coming." So again, fear Him and glorify His name. And watch what He will do to the beasts of secularism and political liberalism. And again, we're going to say the same thing. Why would anyone not fear the Lord and not glorify His name? When we know God and we love and adore Him, and we see His mighty works, what He does in this world, it's like it's confusing. Why would someone not glorify God? Why would they not fear Him? So let us not lose heart at the church's seeming loss of influence in the world and the encroaching beasts of secularism, because, brethren, we are the salt of the earth and we are the light of the world. That means that in the end, we're the ones that will count. We are the ones who will have the great influence. We are the ones who shall last forever, and the world will pass away. As Christians, we need to understand who we are and the influence we have with heaven, and hence the influence that we have over the world. And as I pointed out to you, I think it was maybe 3 weeks ago, as goes the church, so goes the world. The church has a huge amount of influence. I know you're not going to read about it, in the newspaper. I know you're not going to see it in a news magazine. I know you're not going to turn on the TV and watch the world news and see about the influence of the church. But that's because the people of the world don't understand the Spirit. They don't understand how God works with us and how He uses us and how He controls this world for the benefit of His church. The Roman beast attacked Christians in the early centuries with the power of Satan, using death to silence members of the church. And through death, members of the church joined the Lord. Now here in Revelation 15, the singers listed reasons for fearing the Lord and for glorifying His name. Great and marvelous are His works. He is the Lord God Almighty. Thirdly, just and true are His ways. Number four, He is the King of the saints. Number five, He alone is holy. Number six, all nations shall come and worship before Him. And number seven, His judgments have been manifested. Do we understand who our God is? And what He thinks about us as we live in this world? If you have been delivered from sin, if you've been delivered from the power or the fires of hell, if you have the hope of eternal life, are not those reasons valid for us also? And don't they also give us reason for singing to God with all our might? I think they do, and I think that if we could join this chorus that's here in Revelation 15, we would not be quiet. And we would sing with all our might and play these harps with all our might and just flat out enjoy that wonderful experience. So then, let us fear Him and glorify His name. Now, the singers here in Revelation 15 had victory over the beast, in particular the Roman beast. Can you understand, though, why the Israelites, for example, in Exodus 15, sang to God when He closed the Red Sea upon the pursuing Egyptians? Can you understand why the early Christians would sing to God in heaven? The beast of Rome crucified some of our brethren, used some of them as human torches. Imagine you're a Roman and you go to an evening party and it's well lit. And it's because the fire's coming from people who are totally engulfed in flames, and those are the people known as Christians. That happened. And they also placed some of them in the infamous Colosseum for gladiators to kill or for wild animals to attack. Well, if I had witnessed those things or had been part of those things, and then I got up to heaven and I'm standing on a sea of glass mingled with fire, and someone, whether it's God or an angel, I don't know, gives me a harp that God has made, am I going to sing? Am I going to play that harp? Oh, yes. What shall any future beasts do to the church? I don't know, but whatever they do, they will end in defeat, even as every enemy of the church has in the past, and the church shall win, even as it always has in the past. And considering that question that they're asking in that song, you know, if I do not fear the Lord and glorify His name, then it must be because I don't yet know that the great and marvelous things of this earth are His works. That He is the Lord God Almighty. That His ways are just and true. that He is the King of the saints, that He alone is holy, that all nations come and worship before Him, and that His judgments have been manifested. Otherwise, what other reason could there be for me not fearing Him and not glorifying His name? It's because I just don't know Him yet and don't understand Him. Have you considered whether there is a God? If so, who is God? And is there a judgment coming? There is a God in heaven. He created all things, and He is the Father of Jesus Christ. Someday we shall meet both of them at an event called the Day of Judgment. The people in Revelation 15 believed in God, and they believed in His Son, Jesus. Well, I believe in God, and I believe in His Son, Jesus, too. And I'm living my life for Him. Well, that must mean then that I can join in this chorus, or something very similar to it. Those people there in Revelation 15 prepared themselves for the judgment by living as Christians and by resisting the evil of the world. Now, what about you? Do you want to experience the spectacular? Do you want to take part in something big? Do you want to have part in something where even heaven itself just kind of looks down and, wow, look what He's doing. Look what she's doing. And that when you then die, it'll be the same thing. God will watch you play harps and sing a song to Him. Now, in my class, my Bible class, this Lord's Day and last Lord's Day, I pointed out Zephaniah 3:17, which in the New King James Version speaks about God singing over His people. And to me, I don't know if I can think of anything more wonderful that I would like to hear than not only the voice of God, but God singing. When I discovered that verse, I thought to myself, wow, I wonder what His voice sounds like. What does His singing voice sound like? Do you want to hear God sing to you? Have I told you about the Father's Day several years ago when my wife and three daughters sang a song to me? Why can't I think of that song? When Peace Like a River. I don't know if that's the title of it, but you probably know which song it is. And they sang that to me for my Father's Day. I'll tell you what, that was the most beautiful singing I've ever heard. Not only because it's one of my favorite songs, but because of who was singing it to me. Wow, what will it be like when God's singing to us? Now, I haven't paid them back by having them sit down and me sing to them. And they're probably thinking, I hope He doesn't do that. But, you know, I would really like to be able to do that. And I think it'd be very hard for me because they mean so much to me. Just the tears would fill up my eyes. I wouldn't be able to see the song anymore, so I'd have to memorize it. But then it'd be hard for me to do it just because of the emotion. Well, listen. Listen to Revelation 15. Who's doing the singing there? Yes, God shall sing to us or over us. Hebrews 2 says that Jesus sings among us. But in Revelation 15, I'm singing to Him. I'm playing a harp for Him. Wow. Brother or sister, is it time for you to rededicate yourself to the Lord? And if you're not a Christian, is it time for you to become a Christian? you can be baptized into Christ today, and He will deliver you from the bondage of sin, guilt, and death. And He will give you a harp to play that He has crafted. Wow, had you ever thought about that before? Where did these harps come from? Who made them? Well, I want to play a harp that God has made. I've seen some beautiful harps that men or women have made, but I would guess they're nothing like what God has made. Wow. And He will also give us a song to sing that Jesus evidently has written. This is the song of Moses and of the Lamb of God. This is a song that Jesus Christ has written. And I'm guessing that what is here in verses 3 and 4 is perhaps just a glimpse of really what is going to end up being the fullness of the song. What will that be like? And the fact that we'll be able to play and able to sing while we stand on a sea of glass that has fire mixed into it. To me, that's spectacular. That is big. Heaven wants to watch you. We want to watch you. What do you want to do? Have you already made up your mind that you know what you want to do? You can come forward right now as we stand and sing.